Good morning, everyone, for WRCO and WRCE News. I'm Todd Coppernoll. It's 61 degrees this morning in Richland Center under sunny skies. In the news, a 48-year-old man died in a single-vehicle rollover crash on U.S. Highway 51 at Acker Road in the town of Burke Monday. According to the Dane County Sheriff's Office, deputies were dispatched to the scene shortly before 7 a.m. The victim, who was the sole occupant of a black Mazda 3, was ejected from the vehicle during the accident. Madison fire paramedics arrived to provide emergency care, but the driver succumbed to his injuries at the scene. Witnesses indicated that the man was driving at a high rate of speed and weaving through traffic prior to the crash, and officials confirmed he was not wearing a seatbelt. The Dane County Sheriff's Office is currently investigating the incident with support from the crime scene unit and the reconstruction team. The identity of the driver is being withheld by the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office, pending an autopsy and family notification. The Grant County Sheriff's Office recently responded to two separate two-vehicle collisions resulting from failure to yield at stop signs. The first incident occurred Friday, June 19th at 12:41 p.m. near Hazel Green at the intersection of County Z and State Highway 11. Eli Lassen, 22, of Dubuque, Iowa, was traveling south on County Z when he failed to yield and pulled into the path of an eastbound 2016 Chevrolet Equinox driven by 78-year-old James Ashmore of Livingston. Both vehicles sustained heavy damage, and while Lassen was unhurt, Ashmore and his passenger were transported to Finley Hospital in Dubuque for medical treatment. Emergency responders from Hazel Green Fire and EMS assisted at the scene. Lassen was subsequently cited for the right-of-way in violation. Less than 24 hours later, a second crash took place in Cuba City at the intersection of East Roosevelt Street and North Main Street, Saturday, June 20th, 9:24 a.m. Nancy Ariza, 35, of Richfield, Minnesota, was stopped in her 2021 Jeep Wrangler before attempting a turn that placed her directly in the path of a northbound 2021 Honda Passport driven by 72-year-old Ellen S. Henderson of Galena, Illinois. The resulting collision caused disabling damage to Henderson's vehicle, which was towed from the scene, while Ariza's Jeep suffered only minor damage. Fortunately, no injuries were reported in this one. Like the previous day's incident, the crash resulted in a citation for the driver, who failed to yield at the stop sign. Hundreds of construction projects are underway across Wisconsin, including the I-39/90/94 bridge reconstruction over the Wisconsin River in Columbia County. Recently, Wisconsin State Patrol Lieutenant Adam Zock joined WSDOT Southwest Region leaders and industry partners to provide a firsthand perspective on work zone safety to local media. WSDOT Southwest Region Director Dan Chave emphasized that reduced speed limits in work zones are critical for protecting both road crews and motorists. Drivers are urged to reduce speed, eliminate distractions, and provide workers with the necessary space to perform their duties. These precautions are vital, as speeding, tailgating, and distracted driving are the primary drivers of work zone crashes in the state. In 2025 alone, Wisconsin work zones saw over 2,000 crashes, which led to 7 fatalities and more than 600 injuries. To maintain safety during the I-39/90/94 bridge reconstruction, the speed limit has been reduced to 60 miles per hour to accommodate lane shifts, while 3 lanes in each direction remain open during peak times to facilitate traffic flow. The Wisconsin State Patrol actively monitors these areas using both ground and aerial enforcement. Last year, officers in the Southwest region issued nearly 550 citations and warnings, largely for speeding and reckless driving. During aerial enforcement operations near Portage last year, troopers stopped 137 motorists for traffic violations, with average speeds reaching at least 18 miles an hour over the limit and one recorded speed as high as 94 miles per hour. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has released its latest employment estimates for May 2026, revealing a significant and widespread downward trend in unemployment rates throughout the state. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data, Every metropolitan area, major city, and county in Wisconsin saw a decrease in preliminary unemployment rates over the month of May, highlighting a robust period of seasonal hiring and economic activity. In the state's 13 metropolitan statistical areas, the positive momentum was nearly universal. In addition to the month-over-month improvement seen in every region, 12 of these areas also reported lower unemployment rates compared to the same time last year. Only the La Crosse, Onalaska area saw its year-over-year figures remain stable, marking it as the sole exception to the annual decline in metropolitan joblessness. The local impact is perhaps most visible at the county level, where all 72 of Wisconsin's counties achieved lower unemployment rates over the month. The annual comparison further reinforces this growth, as 67 counties reported improved employment statistics over May of last year, with only two counties seeing a yearly increase and three maintaining steady rates. The DWD's latest report underscores a period of exceptional economic consistency across both rural and urban Wisconsin. Local unemployment metrics show strong performance across the region. Iowa County reported an unemployment rate of 2.3%, followed by Sauk at 2.5%, Richland at 2.6%, Grant 2.7%, Crawford 3.4%. Notably, Richland County's 2.6% rate places it 16th out of all 72 Wisconsin counties for lowest unemployment. These figures reflect the broader statewide trend of a tight labor market and sustained economic growth. The Wisconsin Department of Justice has initiated criminal proceedings against two women, Zambia Bell and Carolyn Franco, for their alleged roles in defrauding the state's Medicaid system. These separate cases highlight the ongoing efforts to maintain the fiscal responsibility of public health initiatives within the state. Both women were participants in the Include, Respect, I Self-Direct, or IRIS program, where they served as personal care workers for individuals known to them. The core of the allegations involves the submission of fraudulent time cards, where both Bell and Franco reportedly claimed payment for hours of service that were never actually performed. In the case of 48-year-old Zambia Bell from Milwaukee, the criminal complaint is particularly striking. It is alleged that on 437 distinct occasions, she submitted time cards claiming to have worked more than 24 hours within a single calendar day. These filings result in at least $43,081 in payments, though the complaint suggests the total fraudulent gain could exceed $100,000, even under conservative estimates of her actual labor. Bell now faces 10 counts of medical assistance fraud and one count of theft by fraud. Carolyn Franco, a 45-year-old resident of Pueblo, Colorado, faces three counts of medical assistance fraud and one count of theft by fraud. Investigators allege that she submitted time cards for care on dates when she was physically located in a different state from the IRIS participant, making the provision of care impossible. Her actions reportedly defrauded Wisconsin Medicaid of approximately $16,000. Attorney General Josh Call emphasized the importance of these prosecutions, stating the Wisconsin Department of Justice works to protect the integrity of government programs. We remain committed to pursuing justice in cases involving the alleged defrauding of Wisconsin Medicaid. While these charges are serious, the Wisconsin Department of Justice reminds the public that these are accusations and both defendants are presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. The investigation was a collaborative effort involving the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, Office of the Inspector General, and the Wisconsin DOJ Medicaid Fraud Control and Elder Abuse Unit. As we get closer to the end of the month of June, two dairy breakfasts will be held in the area this Sunday. The 26th annual Cazenovia Area Dairy Breakfast, sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, will be held Sunday from 7 until noon at St. Anthony School in Cazenovia. Menu includes pancakes with real maple syrup, eggs, sausage, cheese curds, applesauce, cheese, coffee, milk, ice cream, and yogurt. There will also be a bake sale and door prizes. Cost is $10 for adults, children 6 to 12, $5. Children under 6 eat for free. The 45th annual Hillsborough Lions Appreciation Dairy Breakfast will be held Sunday from 7 until 12:30 at Hillsborough Firemen's Memorial Park. The breakfast includes pancakes with maple syrup, scrambled eggs, sausage, hash browns, donuts, local cheese, milk, coffee, and orange juice. There will be agriculture awareness activities and displays, fun for all ages. Cost adults $10, kids 10 and under $5. Vital statistics right after this.